For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Browns and Vikings in the midst of joint practices. A lot of good play-by-play coming out. 30-yard connection between Deshaun Watson and David Njoku.
Was it a spiral?
I believe it was a tight spiral. A very tight spiral. And there's more
that, Nick.
To the Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10:15, check out the free-flowing. It's like a rap battle. Live edition of Carman and Lima's Emerging Podcast scene on the 92.3 The Fan Extra Channel on the free Odyssey app and 92.3thefan.com. Presented by Extend Technologies. If you ever miss the live versions, check out the ever-expanding archives. Do you think Ken and Anthony wrote Free-Flowing?
No.
No, I don't. I don't think
it doesn't seem to be in their lingo.
Yeah, it sounds. I mean, I'm not trying to pick apart a read here. I just, you are. If they, that's exactly what I'm doing. I just feel like if anything you and I did, if somebody's like, it's a free flowing show, I'd kind of feel like a bit of a knob. And I don't think the morning boys want to feel like a knob. Now, we do have Ben Lieber on, or we had Ben Lieber on in the last segment, and we got into the importance of joint practices like the Browns and like the Vikings are having, and here was his take.
I know there can be some pretty competitive practices. You know, when it comes to these controlled practices that these teams have together, you're getting basically the same thing except taking guys to the ground. And yeah, you lose a little bit of that. I mean, you can get, you know, obviously you get more of that in a preseason game, but we know that it's all about some of these individual drills. I mean, you're going against pass rushing, you know, one-on-ones that are really important to get basically live. The blocking up front is basically live. The one-on-ones on the outside, I mean, my goodness, some of those joint practices, I mean, probably more intense in a one-on-one basis as a corner and secondary guys than maybe the game.
So I actually think that's kind of the thing that I'm reminded of every time we have these joint practices. The joint practices, Dustin.
Say what now? The conversation about the joint practice?
I'm just more interested in what goes on in them than I am in the preseason.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're just interested in fights, Nick.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. I do like. Anytime I get a good preseason, any kind of fight really in football is great. But yeah, the joint practice fights can be pretty legendary. No, for me it is. I just think it's a more interesting product. Like, I do think the preseason games are so vanilla because teams are so afraid to put anything on tape that might they don't want to give anything away. And I don't think the thought process is more. So basically, it's a lesser. Sorry, I don't want to say lesser caliber of player because. You're still in the top 3% of football players ever if you're in an NFL preseason game, but it's not starter level performance. And the longer the game goes on, the talent diminishes. The quarterback play is especially atrocious in the second half, whereas in joint practices, it's actually your starters. And, you know,
It's good on good, man.
Joint practices have been around forever, so this is not a new thing. But specifically the way that they're used more in line with the way they were used 20 years ago, which is good on good, as you said, than the preseason. Like I think we've hit a point of diminishing return where 90% of good quarterbacks are not playing in the preseason, and if they do, it's 7 plays. That's not really the way it was. Like, I remember Tim Couch getting a lot of playing time early in the preseason in his career. And it's not, and by the way, I remember good players. Like, I remember Jim Kelly being in preseason games and being out there for a quarter or being out there for
half. How do you
remember
Jim Kelly being in preseason games?
Because Jim Kelly. That's why. Yeah.
I mean, were you born?
Jim Kelly?
I'm kidding. You were like 6 years old.
No, I wasn't. Jim Kelly played until like 97 or 98.
All right.
Do you think I meant Leroy Kelly?
No, I guess I thought you meant more like earlier on in his career.
Oh, no. Okay, I get what you're saying because I said the Tim Couch thing. Yeah. I meant more like that's a quarterback at the top of his game that's in his mid-30s and he was still out there.
Sorry.
I felt so judged. I was like, I watched Jim Kelly play.
I was like, were you watching him as a rookie?
No. Okay, I did not watch him with the Houston team in the USFL.
Really, I pounced there.
Yeah, you pounced. I was like, so, like, I'm not fibbing on air. But because it's good on good, I think this is an exceptional moment for the players because the NFL is so just insistent on getting themselves the 18th regular season game. I think if I was the players, I think one thing that they could try and do to take away some of the less meaningful games, the less meaningful risks when you're putting the ones out there, is to replace preseason games with joint practices. Like, cool, man, you want 18 regular season games? We'll do one preseason game, and then we'll do like two joint practices. And not just that, I think
broadcast them.
Yeah, well, and that's, dude.
You could charge rights to these intra-squad scrimmages.
So I know one of the big problems that fans have, especially season ticket holders, is you got to pay for the preseason games, even if you don't intend to go to them, if you're going to be a season ticket holder, right? Well, okay, let's say instead of three preseason games, you had two joint practices. I think because again, it'd be in Berea. So it doesn't have to be at the stadium, wherever that stadium might be located, but it doesn't have to be at the stadium. And from a TV side of things, you can build it in a way where you kind of uniform it across the NFL, but go, all right, here are the five things you're going to see in an hour's broadcast. And to see anything more than that, you have to actually go. I think you would get people, dude, when practice has been free, how many people have we seen out in Berea?
Ton.
Like, every year, tons and tons of people out in Berea. I think the next couple of years is going to be different because they're doing all the work around there. But, like, even if you didn't make it free, all right, $10 per person that doesn't have season tickets gets in, I think you would. Because here's the thing. Keith and I were talking about this earlier. On a national level, I don't think people want nuanced film talk on every team across the NFL. I think there's a reason why a lot of the heavy-duty nits and grits podcasts have a certain level of ceiling to them on a national level. Because, yeah, you want to know ball, but it matters more when it's your team.
Correct.
So, like, I think that's a nits and grits kind of broadcast that I think would actually make a difference on the local level because it's your team. Like, I am incredibly interested in learning the intricacies of Jim Schwartz's wide nine. What they're asking linebacker, like, those are things I would love to know that you could broadcast, that if that was part of a national broadcast, I think most people would fall asleep on. Because it's your team, it's different. I think that's a perfect opportunity for, instead of, I don't want to say meaningless, but limited meaning preseason games, you could swap those out for some really cool, something different, and another way to just get your fans' attention, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good point. I way back when I was doing these, like, video breakdowns or Vines, remember back in the day, Vine?
Oh,
and I would do some clips, and, like, the Browns fans, like, ate it up, you know? No one else in the country cared.
Yep.
But, like, Browns fans want to know, like, man, how'd that guy get so wide open? Ooh, what happened there with that safety? Did that corner get beat? Like, you want to know that stuff. What happened at left tackle?
Or
why?
Even, like, little stuff. Like, Kim Mitchell had an interception in practice today. All right. Give me 5 minutes of Jim Schwartz talking about where Cam was coming into the NFL, where they think he is now, what they've worked on, how, you know, has he added versatility? One, Jim Schwartz will talk for more than 5 minutes on that. Two, like, that's the kind of, like, beyond knowing the stars of your team, I think that's the kind of stuff where all of a sudden those secondary and tertiary players become more of a known quantity. Still trying to figure out what tertiary meant.
Yeah, you say a lot of words that I don't really know what they mean.
That's on me, dog. I shouldn't have said tertiary.
I'm telling you, I swear you wake up in the morning and you get out your, okay, all right.
Did you dump that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I wore it like a badge of honor.
I'm so proud of you.
I was very close to dumping it.
I saw you look at it. I was about to curse at you.
No,
I'm proud
I deserve
you didn't.
It. I deserve
no,
it.
No, no, no. I do not get out my thesaurus every day or my thesaurus. I don't get out either one of those things every morning. I don't know why I don't know why I am the way I am. But I do know why.
You have a thesaurus.
I'd like to show you my thesaurus.
How do I say it like that?
Dude, it's been like 3 weeks of this. Was it same yesterday? Was that the word that I said? I almost said thame. Or I quickly said the word same and it came out thame. And Keith and I just made eye contact like, who's going to point that out? That I just said that. What do you want to see out of these joint practices?
I wish we could turn on NFL Network and watch the whole thing.
But like, okay, so I think this is a great point.
First off, I mean, the obvious, I'm not going to be like, you know, coach speak, but yeah, you want to get through it healthy, obviously. I think coaches care about two things. How hard do you play? How intense are you? And get out healthy.
I think that's three things.
I was putting two together, but no, that's fine. Jam me up. That's cool.
I'm sorry. Was it too much jamming up in a row? No, I mean, as a player, because this is one area you can speak to as a guy who was, especially in Minnesota, you're fighting for your spot.
Yep.
As a player, what are you looking to get out of this?
As a player, trying to make a name for yourself. I mean, if you're not a starter, you're going out there and you're trying to work your technique. You're trying to compete against the opposition. And also, like, one thing you're thinking about, too, is like, oh, we're going up against the Vikings. Okay, I'm on the bubble to make this roster. Okay, let me go out here and ball in these one-on-ones so that maybe their coach or GM sees me.
216-474-0092. Would, as a fan, if you're especially for the season ticket holders out there, as a fan, would you be okay with swapping out joint practices for preseason games? Would you go to more joint practices if they were publicly, if they were held publicly and televised? Would you pay more attention than preseason games? Pretty damn good win last night, buddy.
Hell of a win. They got it done late. Our boy, Big Christmas came through with
a tater, man.
Dude, that was what a liner, man. It had so much power off the bat.
I tweeted this last night. I've never seen that guy almost hit a home run. I've only seen, like, every time they're like, oh, yeah, it was 397 feet. Or it was like 430. It always feels like it is a bigger home run. I just have never seen him. Oh, yeah, that one just snuck out of the park.
Doesn't happen. A powerful dude.
Is it okay if he's kind of... we talked about this with JOK. Is it okay if 32 games in, John Kensi kind of becoming quickly one of my favorite players?
I mean, I watched the last couple nights, and he's already like my favorite player.
So...
I'm being a little sarcastic, but I mean, the guy is what we need. He's like super confident, and... Yeah. He's hitting dingers.
Yeah, I think the dingers thing is part of this. I think having a guy having a guy with that kind of raw power is so much fun. Here's the other thing, though. I just kind of like the way his teammates react to him. Like, you can tell 32 games in.
Got a lot of energy, that guy.
They already kind of like him.
Got that big Santa energy.
Well, here's the thing.
Big Nick energy, if you say
big
it's...
Big Saint Nick energy.
Yeah, okay.
But
Saint Nick.
Saint Nick. There's a lot of inappropriate jokes that are going to come from here, so we should just get back to talking about John Kensi Noel. But I do think it's so funny, man. Like, he's just a legitimate power hitter. When you, like, okay, Hosey. Hosey does not look like a legitimate power hitter. He's got the second or third most home runs in baseball. Aaron Judge is like 42 home runs. Hosey's like 11 home runs off that. So he's, I think he's second in home runs. He might be second or third in home runs with Juan Soto. So, a great power hitter. Great hitter in general. Great player. A nailer. Looks like a power hitter. He does have power. But that's not like, I don't think he's the most consistent power hitter. Like, John Kensi looks like a walking home run. Because he's 6'3", 250. He looks like looks like a middle linebacker.
It kind of reminds me of, like, back when we had Yandy Diaz a little bit. Like, the big dude, powerful.
But maybe not as much juice there.
Well, that too.
I mean, Yandy was just muscular beyond, like, okay, John Kensi Noel. You know what he looks like to me? Country strong. If you've been, if you grew up in Medina County, you know what Country Strong looks like. You know what corn fed, is that what we do? Corn fed just looks like a big, strong son of a bee. Doesn't matter if he's in shape or not. That guy's got the ability to just smack the hell out of a baseball.
Correct.
Now, do we have, actually, we should have done this. Do we have the Matt Underwood call here on John Kensie Noel's home run last? Because when we had Matt on yesterday, we tried to get him on two things. The, Boyd, for Matt Boyd, which Little Birdie tells me at the ballpark last night, they did the, once after a strikeout.
It should be after every strikeout.
It should be after every good inning. But I'll be honest with you. I felt like that was the Nick and Dusty bump. All right? I thought that was you and me willing it into the ether. And now, much like Gavin or Tanner. Any of those, because people tell us all the time, I can't talk about Gavin Williams without doing that. Gavin, I feel like we can do this for Matt Boyd. I also think Matt Underwood, who we do not have a sound effect for, I think he came perilously close to what you requested. Now, yesterday he was on, and what did you want him to say when John Kensie hit a home run?
I mean, it was a pretty reasonable request, and I said it during, I think, the 5 at 5 yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, it'd be so cool for Matt Underwood to have like a really cool Christmassy call.
What was the specific one you wanted?
Santa's got a brand new bag.
Look at that. All right, so here's what Matt actually did with a big Christmas home run last night, courtesy of Bally Sports.
There's a ball hammered, deep left, way out of here! Big Christmas, and a one-horse open sleigh, rounding the bases after an absolute missile of a home run, and the Guardians take the lead 2-1.
Now, a couple of things to say here.
Okay.
Not a bad effort for Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I smiled.
But here's the thing, man. I feel like we had him thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got the problem.
Okay. We got some beef.
Big beef with Matty.
All right. Let's get it out there. The only way out is through.
I put it on the table for him.
You did.
I put it on the table.
Yeah. So would it have been better if he had done the Papa's Got a Brand New Bag?
Santa's got a brand new bag.
I was thinking James Brown.
He'd had to put his spin on it, but yeah, I think it'd been great.
All right. So do you think that this was like a bridge, instead of a bridge too far, a bridge not far enough?
Not far enough. This is like the bad guys in Twister steal the idea from the other guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Matt Underwood has become Jonas from Twister, from Twisters,
yeah, Twister,
which of course just came out on digital. You should buy it today.
But, you getting paid by him?
I'll accept payment.
I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No shame.
I'm just throwing it out there. So eventually they might come around and be like, hey, that guy was really good to us. Anyways.
It was a layup, Matt.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know how to say this because this is the opposite of salt and vinegar eyes. What's happening right now? I think his was better.
It probably was.
It's pretty good. Can I hear it again? I just want to hear it again because now I have Santa's Got a Brand New Bag stuck in my head. So here is again.
But it'd have to be like, and Santa's got a brand new bag.
See, when you say it like that, it does sound better than if you just say Santa's got a brand new bag.
Well, I wouldn't say it without energy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, okay, give me it one more time and then I'm going to play it versus the Matt Underwood thing.
I'm trying to.
Or do you want to go Matt Underwood first? And then we go to yours. Let's do that. Here's Matt Underwood.
No, I got it. I got it.
Oh, okay. Hands off. Hands off the wheel.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dusty, take the wheel.
Noel with a deep line drive to left field. Way back. It is gone. Santa's got a brand new bag.
All right, here's Matt Underwood.
There's a ball hammered. Deep left. Way out of here. here. Big Christmas and a one-horse open sleigh rounding the bases after an absolute missile of a home run. And the Guardians take the lead 2-1.
Got to be honest with you. And again, courtesy of Bally Sports Ohio, I don't know which one I prefer now. Jax, can I get you to weigh in here? We're going around the room on this one because I'm torn. What do you got there?
Dustin really sold me on
this. He sold the hell out of it. Like, that's more energy than I've even this is not, no offense, even in your football broadcast, which you do a fantastic job.
I'm not a play-by-play
guy. That's true. You're not, but I think you might have a future in it now, specifically in baseball.
Oh, I mean, you nailed it. Hit those higher notes.
Yeah.
Notes?
No squeaking or anything. You hit the higher notes in that.
I didn't know there were notes.
Well, you kind of sang it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was very, that's good, though. That's musical. The way you delivered
it
was
nothing musical about it.
Oh, I heard. I mean,
you heard music?
Yeah. I mean, I thought there was some musicality to the way you were very staccato in your, you know, Papa's got a brand new bag.
I mean, if we made a highlight package with music behind it, that would, you nailed it.
Yeah. That's like Eric Collins for the Hornets, who's always over the top with his things. Always makes Sports Center because of that. With that, if you had made the call,
stand up.
You would have made Sports Center today. It's a hell of a home run, so it should have made it on its own. It didn't. I watched. But now with that, I got to be honest with you. I don't think Matt's going to come on with this anymore because he might be challenged by you. He might feel threatened by you.
He's not threatened by me.
He probably should.
Phenomenal job calling games. No, I'm just busting chops there. We had a lot of fun with him yesterday, and his call is fantastic.
Do we get to get a little credit from this?
Well, I think regardless if we get the credit, I'm taking the credit.
That's, you know what? I like the way you think. I'm sure that he had Christmas tinges to all of his Giunkensi Noel's home runs previously, but because we talked about him before his ninth home run in baseball, yeah, that's the Nick and Dusty bump there too. So we would like our copyrights, please, or just credit. Just say our names
on
air.
I'll take the credit. Yeah.
But there's no way he's not in the lineup tonight, right?
I mean, the guys helped win two games back-to-back. And he's hot against the Cubs.
You've got Tyone on the hill for Chicago tonight, who's not great. Like, at one point, he was pretty okay. Now he's not really that great. But he's a righty, so that means I shouldn't see Lane Thomas, right? I shouldn't see Lane Thomas in right field tonight. And even if I do, maybe I don't see David Fry at DH. I mean, you got to have Naylor in there because it's a lefty-righty. But, like, he's the hot hand. Basically, I want them to play Giunkensi. Because here's the thing. That's the other thing. But this is just
I want to see him every night now.
This is now just an I was right tour.
Hey, can I say something else, too?
You may.
Like, watching the games the last couple nights at Progressive, boy, the crowds were awesome. And it had a feel of, like, kind of like a playoff atmosphere. And that's what I've been waiting to see. I know people have been going. They've been getting good crowds. But, like, you can tell when a game just feels a little bit bigger. And because the Guardians have not played that well as of late, them to kind of get hot here against the Cubs, who, oh, by the way, I mean, we still sort of hate the Cubs after what happened in 2016. So it's been great to see the park alive.
I think what has been really interesting is even when the baseball hasn't lived up to maybe what their record has been, I think the crowds have been really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels as if Guardians fans everywhere are starting to feel that playoff push. And
catch,
like,
that fever.
Like, 2022 was really special. It didn't have the playoff vibes in July and August. I think that's a great note out of you. I mean, I feel like the energy in the park is just, and I don't know if that's because they're just more people, or maybe people are more excited because they, like, once again have the best record in baseball now. Now they're tied for like four different teams, but they're back on pace to be a 96 win team. A win tonight puts them at like 97 wins. So, like, it does feel as if the team is catching its rhythm again. And, man, I'm going to tell you, actually, I'm going to save my Alex Cobb prediction for later in the show. I think you're onto something. I think we're very, very close to people getting super damn excited. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up within the hour. Of course, the Mike Hall Jr. situation. He'll speak on that.
I don't know what to do, man. We got to, like, fill some time here until the presser?
No, we got to talk about the decision to pitch Emmanuel Clase last night. That's a big risk, dude. For a rookie manager to put his best pitcher, and that's what Clase is. Let's... full stop. This is as good. Like, what he's doing this year, guys, it's, I don't know if it's more impressive because he's doing it one inning at a time. It's as impressive as what Andrew Miller did in 2015, 2016, 2017. Like, it's that level of dominating. He's given up four earned runs all season long. 24 consecutive saves for Manuel Clase. So with last night's performance, it's his 37th save of the season. And what makes it so impressive is because he didn't give up a run, his ERA went down 0.01. It's now 0.64 or 0.64. But his whip, because he gave up a hit, went up 0.01, and it's 0.66. 0.66. And yet, I'll be honest with you, if at any point Emmanuel Clase starts to exhibit wear and tear, and again, this is a guy who has pitched on average, we're talking like 70 appearances a year, this is something we're going to remember. So the risk for Vogt was not that Emmanuel was going to get hurt last night, although I'm sure that is part of the risk. The risk is just, this is a no-no. Like, it is an accepted no-no. It is a break glass in case of emergency. You don't put your closer in four straight nights. And I think it takes, while I'm not absolving him of potential criticism down the line, I think it takes massive stones for a rookie manager to put his most important pitcher in a game, in any one single game, for that fourth game in a row. I think that was a put him on the table kind of moment from Stephen Vogt.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, impress the hell out of me.
It's always risky to put somebody so valuable out there on the short rest, right? I don't have a problem with it.
I'm glad, kind of
a big game.
I'm glad the way that you said it. I understand the point of we got to treat every game as a must win. I think 4 or 5 weeks ago, I don't think they put him in. I think 4 or 5 weeks ago, you still had Scott Barlow in. Maybe you put Scott Barlow in that situation, who has experience as a closer. Cade Smith right now is their high-leverage guy. Like, he's the guy that you're putting in there when you need a win. But Sandlin, maybe Hunter Gattis. All of those guys have at least one save this year. Maybe, I mean, honestly, most times baseball fans will tell you, well, if you need a save on the fourth straight night, where do you go? And the answer usually is any direction other than your closer. But I understand why he did it. And I understand that right now, like, I don't think last night was just important to get a win because of the playoff atmosphere, which you called out. I don't think it was just an important win to get because it put you into first again in baseball for most wins in baseball. I think Stephen Vogt in the moment thought, we have some momentum here. This will be our fourth straight win. It'll move us farther from the losing streak that we had the week before, and maybe it can lead to some momentum. I know we're not supposed to think like that because momentum shouldn't exist in sports because of stats or what, you know, who was that?
Oh, I think it definitely matters and is a real thing. Some people don't agree.
Who was the NFL coach, Dustin, that said they spent the, oh, it was Jonathan Gannon in Arizona, who said the coaching staff spent the offseason with like this massive study about momentum and whether it's real or not. And then the reporter asked him, so do you think momentum's real? And he's like, I don't know. But I think it is.
Of course it's real.
Yeah. Well, especially in baseball where I don't think, it's not like they had negative momentum. They were pressing.
Yeah, I mean, momentum, here's what momentum is. It's confidence.
Ooh, you took the words right out of my mouth.
It's confidence. And when you get up to the plate in baseball, you are looking at pitches with confidence. You're swinging with confidence. You are more disciplined to not swing at pitches that are way outside the zone. You know, guys make good plays. You just play. You don't think. The sport that I watch a lot of is all momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's literally all momentum. It happens.
And it's tennis, by the way.
People know. And I was just trying to avoid it.
Why? I wasn't going to jam you up for saying tennis.
Oh, you were thinking about it.
No, no, I really was not. We're talking about my tennis, which is baseball, so yeah. It's fair.
I mean, but that's the thing. You see runs in basketball. That's not momentum.
Here's the thing. You're making a great point about the lineup, and I do think, Kwan's average the last couple weeks has not been great. Naylor, Hosey, everybody has at-bats where it is apparent that they had been pressing. And I do feel like, last night they only got two runs. I don't think I saw as many bad at-bats in a two-run game as I might have seen in, a seven-run game or, where they had, 11 hits. So I can't remember which Diamondbacks game. They had, 11 hits. They scored two runs. There were a lot of bad at-bats there, though, that should have been a seven- or eight-run game. So I do think there's something to be said of we need this win to continue the good vibes. But I don't think it's just a lineup. I think it's a bullpen, too. I think the bullpen has been going through it, and I think when you get on a roll like they were for half the season, Gattis's ERA in the mid-ones, obviously Cade Smith, I think Barlow right now has some negative inertia to his game because I think he's in his head a little bit. I think getting that win and removing yourself just one step closer to clinching a playoff spot, man, I understand it. Listen, let's be real, though. It will not have been worth it if Class A has to get shut down at any point because you overused him. I'm not saying that's going to happen specifically because of this, because remember, there's also been four or five game stretches where you haven't needed to use him. At the same point, this is the thing that people will point to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you're in these tight ball games, especially to me, look, the playoffs are going to be similar to what we're seeing right now. Tight ball games, big raucous crowds, and you need guys to step up. I mean, Class A is most likely going to have to do that at least once in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean,
if not more.
I think Boyd. I just naturally said Boyd. Boyd, I do think, I don't think he's going to start, be one of your first three starters in the playoffs. If he keeps pitching like last night, maybe that conversation changes. I don't expect him to. I expect him to be a serviceable number four starter kind of at best. At worst, he's probably a fringe rotational guy. Mm-hmm. But again, he's got average stuff. He's a very pitchable starter. I say all that to say, I think Emmanuel Clase and Cade Smith are going to be your two most important relievers going into the postseason. And I think anyone from Gavin Williams to Tanner Bibee to Alex Cobb are going to be your most important starters.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.